ABC Radio Australia.
Jacinda Ardern's shock resignation as New Zealand's Prime Minister has paved the way for some new faces in the country's highest political offices, including a historic appointment of the first Pacific Islander to serve as Deputy Prime Minister. Carmel Sepuluni will serve as New Zealand's 20th Deputy PM.
It is very hard to fathom that a working class girl from Waitara who turned Westie, that person can become the Deputy Prime Minister of New Zealand. I am proudly Samoan, Tongan and New Zealand European and represent generations of New Zealanders with mixed heritage.
Ms. Sepuluni will serve as deputy to incoming Prime Minister Chris Hipkins, who will be sworn in as Ms. Ardern's replacement later this week. Joining us now to tell us more about New Zealand's new deputy Prime Minister is Auckland University of Technology lecturer and writer Richard Pamatau. Good morning to you, Richard.
Good morning, Priyanka.
Now, we just heard there Ms. Sepuluni making reference to her Pacifica heritage as she accepted the appointment as Deputy Prime Minister. Now, she says she represents New Zealanders with mixed heritage. Can you tell us, Richard, what is the significance of her appointment to New Zealand?
Well, the first thing is the mixed heritage is really, really important because there is increasingly no such thing as a single ethnicity person in New Zealand. We are seeing a lot of intermarriage or mixed race union. So Carmel is the embodiment of that, Samoan father, European mother, Tongan grandfather. What's significant about it is not the fact that she is just somebody who has mixed ethnicity. What's significant is she has that on top of extraordinary competence and the ability to communicate and reach out across all stratas in society. She's really adept at getting on with people at, for want of a better term, the grassroots level, but she's also very, very good mixing at the the higher levels of society in a socioeconomic sense. So her hybridity gives her the ability to navigate all sorts of areas, and she's clever, she's really smart. And I've watched her career as a former journalist from when she first stepped into the fray. She's a listener and she's a really hard worker. She checks everything and then she asks for more information because she doesn't want to make mistakes.
Can you tell us a bit about that career, Richard? Because some of us outside New Zealand might not know exactly who Carmel Sepuluni is. What is her background? Where did she come from and how did she get to now the spot as Deputy PM?
So she comes, as she said, from a pretty ordinary working class background, Taranaki, Waitara. Her father, a freezing worker, etc. Her mother worked in a clothing factory. So she didn't come from an elite, as it were, family, but she's also somebody who listened at school, and her former headmistresses have talked about her ability and her desire to do lots of things. She came to Auckland, graduated with a diploma in teaching, and then went to the Auckland University and was a student mentor trying to get students, often from less fortunate backgrounds, further up the education ladder. And the further up the education ladder they go, the more able they are to be earning good incomes and lifting their families up. Then she became involved in politics. She joined the Labor Party in 2008, and she was handpicked at that stage by the former Prime Minister, Helen Clark, as somebody with talent, ability and drive, and she's part of a broader cohort, mostly of women of Pacific descent, who have risen through the ranks. So one of her contemporaries, Josephine Bartley, is an Auckland City Councillor. So she sits in that arena. She's passionate about the arts. She's passionate about business, and she wants people to get on and be better. She's had a couple of really tough portfolios, ACC, the Accident Compensation Corporation, and the Ministry of Social Development. And she's making some inroads there. She has, of course, copped criticism because people don't think she's making enough change quickly enough, but she's more than capable of, you know, weathering that kind of political beating. And she's also quite, and I say this from a personal level because I've known her in a semi-social basis, she's quite funny and doesn't mind having a good time.
Oh, well, that can be useful. I mean, considering that glowing resume there, Richard, I mean, we've got that background, but we've also got to think strategically, I guess, when it comes to politics in New Zealand. There is an election coming up this year in October. What does it mean for New Zealand's Labour Party to make this appointment to elect the first Pacifica Deputy Prime Minister to this position?
From a political strategy point of view, it does enable them to anchor and secure what people often call the Pacific vote. So that's a large population, particularly in Auckland, that's located in the poorer suburbs in South Auckland. It enables her also to reach into those mixed identity populations where the mother or one of the parents is Pacific, and these are people who might be sliding around and thinking, I don't have to vote for Labour as my parents did. She also has the ability to reach into Māori. She's quite well respected in the Māori population, so she will be an efficient hook there as well. But at the same time, she is an MP in West Auckland. She calls herself a Westie. For people who live in Sydney, they'll know what a Westie is. There's a kind of a way of being. She really is able to articulate to that population as well. And there is a bluntness to her that I think people who are used to compliant and humble behaviour from people of Pacific descent will recognise as, I'm not somebody to be trifled with. So she's got a strength to her which will be useful in combating the opposition National Party, who will hammer her and Labour for sure, because this is going to be a very toughly contested election. But also I think her ability in the arts, culture and heritage sector will stand her in good stead with the art crowd, for want of a better term, because she has made some things happen there. And then in terms of the Ministry for Social Development, she's lifted benefit rates. So she has a following from people who think she can get things done. But she also will have to be aware of the criticism from people who say she hasn't done enough.
Mm. If you are just tuning in here to Pacific Beat on ABC Radio Australia, I'm Priyanka Srinivasan, and with us is Richard Pamatatau. He's a New Zealand writer and university lecturer, and as we're hearing, knows Carmel Cepuloni, who's just made history by being appointed as New Zealand's new Deputy Prime Minister. She's the first Pacific Islander to hold that position. Now, we've been talking about the significance of her election there, or her appointment, I should say, Richard. What's the reaction been like from the Pacifica community? I mean, I've heard some leaders say that this means a lot for Pacifica daughters, sisters, mothers, who can now look up to Carmel as the new deputy PM and say, you know, anything is possible. Is that what you're hearing as well, Richard?
People are, the people in the Pacific population that I've had engagement with in the last sort of the weekend are thrilled by her elevation. And they see it, if they're particularly politically savvy, they see it a continuation of work that was done when Lua Manavau Winnie Laban was the first Pacific minister in the Labour Party. And what we do see in Labour is the ability to reach out to the Pacific population, and there's a very strong cohort of Pacific MPs in Labour. What it does mean, though, is it's up a notch now. She is the Deputy Prime Minister. She's more important in a political sense than being a minister, and that means there will be more scrutiny on her from the Pacific population to do more. Because often there is a view that, by some people in the Pacific population, that Labour rests on the Pacific vote without doing more for that population. So she will be pushed by the community, but I was at a workshop yesterday, and when it was announced, the workshop started cheering and clapping and taking pictures to send to her. So she has support. She has very strong support, and it will be up to Labor to capitalise on that to secure those votes if it wants to hang on to the Treasury benches.
I mean, given that, because there has been criticism of the Labor government there in New Zealand, particularly around its reaction to the COVID-19, or its response to the COVID-19 pandemic, and the impact that that may have had disproportionately on Pacific Islander communities there in New Zealand. Could that be a feature in the upcoming elections, that sort of criticism?
That criticism will be apparent in the upcoming election scrap. But we did see the Pacific population mobilise once the Labor-led government under Jacinda Ardern recognised that it had got some of the strategy wrong, and it was the Pacific community, particularly the Tongans and the Samoans, who mobilised the most enormous vaccination events. So the criticism will be there, but generally it will come more from the European population, who at the moment are whining about anything that they think that Labor has not done properly. I'd argue that the COVID response, while it has been criticised by the Pacific population and many leaders, people have moved on from that. And the broader issues are going to be housing, health, education.
Mm. Now, Richard, earlier you mentioned Carmel's humour that you've perhaps noticed in some of your meetings with her. Now, many outside New Zealand, myself included, didn't really know Carmel Cipollone before this appointment. But I do remember she did go viral a couple of years ago, as we say, for this Zoom TV interview with Radio Samoa. I want to play you a grab from it now.
Connector services with social services. Hang on a second, my son's just in the room. I'm sorry, Tim.
That's okay. That's okay. That's what family's all about, Minster.
Now, if you don't remember it, that was an interview with Carmel Cipollone, who's, I understand, a minister at that time with Radio Samoa. As you could have heard, I think her son walked in. Now, Richard, do you remember that? Did that make waves in New Zealand?
I do remember that. The boy walked in with a carrot. And what I think is really interesting about that is, A, Carmel didn't erupt and turn into a ferocious working mother. She thought, gosh, my son walked in with a carrot. I just need to proceed and try and make this as normal as possible. And I think what was interesting about that is lots of people were working from home, dealing with Zoom, dealing with family, dogs, the husband, the wife, the children. So it was very humorous and very, very funny. But you got a sense of her lightness in that, and that quite infectious laughter. And so that is how she can be socially. And I don't socialise with her, but I've been at events where you can see her with a group of people and she is having a belly laugh. She's chuckling, she's laughing, she's having a lot of fun. And I have seen her, I sit on the New Zealand Book Awards Trust, and she, as Arts Minister, has, and I'll tell you something quite funny, has opened, she opened it, and I got a text from her saying, "Are you there?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "We're a bit late, but do you think you could bring me a glass of red? I'll be sitting in row, one next to whoever it was." And it's that sense of kind of humanity. Can you get me a glass of red? And I send a text back, "Any preference?" And she said, "No, just something in a glass that's red." So she's very human, you know, who doesn't want a glass of wine?
Yes, and we'll see what that humanity and humour brings to New Zealand's politics. Richard, thank you so much.
I just think there's one other point that is really important. So we've seen a lot of misogyny directed to the outgoing Prime Minister and other women in politics. And, you know, you saw it in Australia with the way Julia Gillard was treated. But Carmel Cipollone is extremely smart, extremely tough, and extremely wily. So she was being interviewed by a female interviewer, and when they were off here in the ad break, the interviewer said to her, "Can't you see that I'm trying to help your career, Carmel?" And Carmel said, "I'm not answering your questions, which are way out of line." And then the interview went back. And what that demonstrates is, don't muck around with her. She can see through people. She has that ability and the toughness. And I think that's what we will see when things get really testy in the election.